and lows and whether it'll rain or not. Your dependable WNAX weather forecast on 570 WNAX.
Good afternoon to you. It is a Wednesday edition of Drive Time. It is 3:15, and since it is Wednesday, it must be time for Bill's Business Break.
And I'm Bill, and I'm back.
Yeah, Bill's Business Break is brought to you by Dakota Plains Ag Center. We have heard exciting news that roads are almost completed out there. And they invite you to stop out at the site northwest of Yankton anytime, tour the facility, and kind of take a look at all the progress that's
being
made.
They are taking names and kicking you know what. Do they have a new zip code out there, I wonder?
I think that may be coming.
They're doing quite a job, aren't they?
Who do we have on the program today, Bill?
You know, Fred, we talk at the end of every one of our shows about if you've got a subject matter or a guest that you'd like to have us interview, entertain on the show. Well, Sharon, one of our really stellar diggers, got a hold of me and said, we have a client over not too far from WNAX near Fairmont, Minnesota, 90-some miles into the state, and they would love to be on the show. And we have with us today Kirsten and Joel Robbie.
Perfect.
Help me out.
Perfect.
Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having us. This is it's a treat for us and to enjoy 91-degree temperatures here. We had to drive 3.5 hours to make that happen.
How much rain did you come through?
Really not much at all. We had we were right on the edge of it this morning, but we didn't have any rain to drive through.
You know, and as we were getting ready for the show, Kirsten, you said, do you have an agricultural background? And my answer was what? No, I like to eat. I love eating. And we now have a classroom setting where you guys are going to be the instructors. I'm going to be the student that's going to be going, what? Because the fact of the matter is you have some very, very exciting things going on over there at Galena Genetics. I am really sorry. I can't talk, but I get paid to be here, so forgive me. Help us out on, Joel, when did you get started and why?
Well, first and foremost, we're farmers, and goes back to the 1990s. We were raising soybeans and trying to add value to our commodity, namely the soybean, and which led us into many different areas, but eventually it led us into research and development and trying to understand what we might be able to do with the soybean and where we could take it. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been, our product has been in the international markets, the domestic markets. It continues to be in both of those markets. And it also brought us to a new growing region. And I'm happy to say that's the state of South Dakota. And the state of South Dakota's got a great thing going here. You've got the South Dakota soy processors that have a facility in St. Lawrence that are offering your area producers a premium for conventionally grown and conventional soybeans. So that's who we are. We're conventional soybean breeders.
And kind of a catchphrase today that's become more and more popular is non-GMO.
Non-GMO, yes.
You see it on labels in the supermarket all over the place.
Yeah.
It's become a market driver for a lot of niche marketing in farms.
And it won't be long and you're going to have your product on Amazon, is that right?
Well, I hear Amazon took over
Whole Foods.
In the process, yeah.
Yeah, so that's all good stuff. Fred, I gave you a bundle of stuff there.
Yeah, I know. When you talk about non-GMO, you're obviously not putting down producers who want to do GMO usefulness of GMO.
Not at all.
What you're offering is an alternative for that niche market.
That's exactly right. It's it'd be the comparison of whether you want to eat Omaha beef or you want to eat South Dakota beef. What's the difference? As far as the point is, the producer wants you to eat the beef. The beef producer wants to sell the beef. And that's who we are. We're not taking aim at anything on the GMO side. Rather, our focus is on the conventional side, where we believe that and have proven that our genetics are equal to in yield, equal to or greater than, and also offer to some areas of the market an additional premium. So that's where we're. That's what we're doing.
One thing that I never understood is what it takes to come up with some sort of a hybrid of a grain to produce. And you were telling us in the office earlier that this is a process. It's not just, hey, you create it one year and everybody's growing it the next year. This is a long process that the fruit of it is years and years down the road, isn't it?
That's right. Generally speaking, the rule of thumb is 7 to 9 years from the time that you cross the first A by B.
And by that, Joe means when you take the tweezers and you're literally taking the stamen from one flower and sprinkling it on the other, that's how detailed breeding conventional soybeans is.
And you do this with an individual seed at
yes,
that level?
That's where it starts, and then it keeps growing out every season, every year it gets to be more and more, and all the while we're culling through the information and deciding, is this going to be good for the agricultural producer? Is this going to increase the yields? How are the disease trait packages? We make very deliberate crosses in the beginning, but over time it really helps to keep in mind what's going to benefit the farmer as well as what's going to benefit the consumer.
How many times over the course of the years that you guys have been doing this have you looked at a hybrid and go, oh, that's not working at all, scratch that and start over?
Absolutely. After you make thousands and thousands and thousands of crosses over the course of a period of time, you may start with, and I just throw it out, you may start with 10,000, and that 10,000 eventually may get down to one or two that actually make the race. And that race meaning in a commodity way, the race being to get it out to the consumer, get it out to the producer where they can raise it.
Now, I often hear Michelle doing weather reports that include South America, and I figured that was because of the competition in South America for growing grain. But you folks use South America as well to help you create these hybrids?
Winter nursery, yes. After we harvest here in the fall, October, November, we package our material and send a certain percentage of it to South America for winter grow out. And then we have it back in our facility or back to one of our facilities by early June, late May.
So really you remove a growing season from the cycle then by being able to, in a sense, double crop by shipping the grain.
That's our goal.
So you literally, when you talk about 5 to 7, 9 years, you're trying to cut that down as much as you can by your winter nursery.
We'd like to. You know, as we talked in the office, the stuff that we're seeing today, that we're putting in the ground today in our nurseries, the farmer will probably not be able to plant any of that just because of the years involved for another 6, 7, 8 years.
And the crop that they're harvesting today, talk about the premium that we're seeing.
Well, here in your state, in the state of South Dakota, there's a premium being paid over the Chicago Board posted price, and it ranges from 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 cents or more above that. And then if you add that to the basis, your producers out here are coming up with $1, $1.10, $1.20, and granted, that fluctuates on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and a seasonal basis. But it's a tremendous opportunity.
How are the inputs different for a farmer, you know, using a conventional seed as opposed to a GMO seed?
You know, that's a good question. There really isn't a lot of difference. The chemistry that is being used today, with the exception of the Roundup or the glyphosate, the chemistry that's being utilized today is virtually the same on whether it's conventionally grown or whether it is a gene-altered product. So in our particular case, as we look at the chemistry that we're working with, we look at it, compare it to the other side of the plate, and say, you know, if we've got to use these both ways, now what can we gain on the conventional side? And we come up with these dollar savings per acre.
And so added value is truly what we're talking about.
You're talking about add value in your particular case out here. You're talking about, number one, added value by what you can save in the cost of seed. And number two, in the state of South Dakota, you have the premium market. So you've got two.
So as our listener is hearing this and they're scratching their head if they haven't heard about it before, how do they get a hold of you?
go online, www.galenagenetics.com.
All right.
Kirsten, you've got a buying signal there that you're going to wrap with.
I do. Actually, the best thing to remember about conventional soybeans is dollars in your pocket at the bottom line. Less in seed cost. In 2016, it was up to $30 less per acre. It's also great savings in terms of, not savings in terms of chemistry, but it's equivalent or greater yields than you're going to get with a GMO product. And the premium dollars that you can add on the other end are excellent as well. So bottom line is it saves the farm producer money, and it's great all around for, I want to wrap this up?
It's great for everyone, for the consumer, for the producer, for everyone. And the dollars that our program generates in the form of sales stays in our communities that we serve. And that's a big thing in this world, too.
Bill, don't you feel a little bit like a farmer now?
Well, I do.
I mean, we've picked up some knowledge.
And the thing of it is, farming today isn't what it was 30, 40 years ago. Farming today isn't what it was probably 5 years ago.
That's correct.
And what I'm looking forward to doing is having you guys back, because something tells me that this has been a great experience, but we're going to, in a very short while, be able to have you back and get even more reports.
We'd appreciate that, and we'd look forward to it.
GalenaGenetics.com.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Bill, if somebody knows somebody like the Rabbies that are doing good business here in the five-state region, how can they get a hold of you?
Call us. Call Connie, 605-665-7442, or go to WNAX and drop me a note.
All right. And don't forget that Bill's Business Break is brought to you by Dakota Plains Ag Center, fully staffed with three marketing specialists at the Yankton. Now I'm doing it. At the Yankton Napa Junction facility, Cullen Wilson, Todd Stromstad, and Tate Sybil.